Sean. But this morning, if you are visiting us, we are in the middle, even towards the end, of a series that we have entitled Seek First the Kingdom. We were taking 8 weeks in total to explore the King that is Jesus and the kingdom that he came to start. And I hope you found the series helpful so far. I hope you found it challenging, and I hope you found it give you a greater perspective of who the King is, who Jesus is, and what his kingdom is about. And we do. We want this series to challenge you, to challenge our thinking, to challenge our understanding, and to increase our faith in terms of what it means to be a part of the kingdom. What it means to be aliens in this world is the way the Bible talks about it, or to have our citizenship in another kingdom. Citizenship. Mine is Australian. If yours is Welsh, what can I say? But our citizenship, if we are followers of Jesus, is in another kingdom, is what the Bible tells us. So we want this series to change us, to help us be transformed, and indeed to help us renew our minds. And each week as we've gone through the series, we've had a big idea. It's the one thing that we really wanted you to go home. If nothing else, we wanted you to go home with the big idea for each week. And we're doing this series, the same series, in the three sites. So Sean is this morning over in Borden preaching the same message. And someone in Aldershot is preaching the same message. I just can't remember who it is. Steve Woodbridge. Steve Woodbridge. There we go. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. So across our three sites, we're studying the same thing. So the big idea this morning, Jesus is the King who shapes the kingdom. And hopefully you've all been given your handouts, your blue handouts. And inside the blue handouts is a sheet. And if you are this kind of person, you can, as we go through, fill in the blanks. If you're not that kind of person, don't worry. You don't have to do anything. But if you like to follow along, there'll be times when I'll tell you to fill in the blanks and the missing word will be revealed. So Jesus is the King who shapes the kingdom. It's all about Jesus. He is the one who started the kingdom, and he is at the very center of the kingdom. Furthermore, Jesus is the one who shapes it. So what we're going to do this morning is look at Jesus' life and ministry this morning and what it demonstrated of the kingdom. He is our perfect role model for life and life in the kingdom. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He is the Word from the beginning. He is the eternal Son. He is the firstborn. He is the only begotten of God. He is Jesus. He has overcome death and the grave. You raised him from the dead. He has defeated Satan and paid our debt in full on the cross. He has ascended in glory to the right hand of the Father, seated in heavenly places. And you, Heavenly Father, gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. He is Jesus. He is risen. He is Lord. We praise your name, Father, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Mark 1, verse 15 says this, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The kingdom of God is at hand. The time has come. Jesus was here announcing the beginning of the kingdom of God. It was long waited for. But it took those that were closest to him, it took his disciples by surprise. And it can still take us by surprise today if we don't see and we don't understand what it was that Jesus was starting. And that brings us to our first fill in the blanks. Jesus inaugurates the kingdom. Jesus inaugurates the kingdom. And that means Jesus starts the kingdom to usher it in. It has begun, and any of us who are followers of Jesus are in his kingdom. This shows us that without Jesus, there is no kingdom. It is his kingdom. He started it. He shapes it. Where the king is, that's where the kingdom is. Where the king's reign is on display, that's where the kingdom is. But the people of Jesus' time were thinking, actually, that this kingdom would be with great pomp and ceremony, a great and mighty earthly kingdom to conquer the foreign invaders and throw them out. Their model, perhaps through the scriptures, but also at the time, was of the conquering Roman army. Maybe they also look back to the might of King David or Solomon. Either way, their model, their understanding, their hopeful picture of the kingdom was very different to what Jesus was bringing. Jesus, in many ways, was redefining what it meant to follow the Lord, what it meant to follow him. It was redefining for all of those people, his disciples and all of us, what the kingdom was. In Luke 17, verse 20 to 21, we read, "Once, on being asked by a Pharisee when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, not something that people will say it is here or it is there, because the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" See, God's people in God's place under God's rule. That is what Jesus came to show us as he began the kingdom. It was utterly different to what the disciples were expecting, utterly different to what the Jewish religious leaders were expecting of the Messiah. And as followers of Jesus, we are now called to live in that kingdom. We are God's people in God's place under God's rule. And as Jesus started, we are now to carry on in the good of it. He was our perfect example, and he calls us to follow in his footsteps. So Jesus inaugurated the kingdom, and we live in it. Jesus also declares the kingdom. And that's your second point if you are filling in your sheets. Jesus declares the kingdom. Luke 8, verse 1 says, "Soon afterwards he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God." Jesus went about proclaiming the kingdom. Through his words, Jesus explains the kingdom and invites people to be a part of it. And we've seen as we've gone through this series that we've used or studied the parables, the way that Jesus used to talk about the kingdom. He often used parables. And parables are a simple story but they hold a truth and an insight, a powerful truth and insight into the kingdom. But they were simple stories that the people of the time would grasp immediately what Jesus was saying. And we're called to do the same. It's something like this. It's something like I heard Paula say when I visited their group the other week, and she was talking about how she went for a walk with one of her neighbors. And on this walk, the neighbor then asked her, what does your group do, your church group? I think she knew that there was a church group there, mainly because of the multitude of cars that are parked all over the curb and, you know, almost blocking the street. And so I think she first asked out of irritation, I may be getting that wrong, I may be putting some, you know, sort of artistic spin on that. What are all these cars here for? And Paula said it was a group. And then it went further on. In this particular walk, this lady said, well, what do you do? I see there was all the cars there last night. What do you do at this group? And Paula explained to her that it was kind of like a book club. We all agreed to read a book, discuss what we thought it meant, and what impact that has for me. It's kind of like that. But the book that we read most of the time is the Bible. I thought it was brilliant. For someone who I think was unchurched and certainly had no idea around how we at Jubilee do life together, the description of kind of like a book club was just pure genius. Instantly, Paula's neighbour had a feel for what group would be like. If they turned up, they would know that they would be reading some parts of the book. They'd be talking about what that meant for them. And they'd be seeing what it meant for their lives. In the case of Adrian and Paula's group, you add in copious amounts of really nice cake, lots of laughter, lots of fun, and there you have. That's what group's all about. There is good cake. That's not the only thing about group, but there's good cake. But starting a conversation like "it's kind of like" is really helpful. Isn't that actually the way Jesus told parables? The kingdom of God is like. And then he gave a description. That's a modern day parable. And you see, Jesus knew the power of parables. He knew that we are, and people are, spiritually hungry and yet feeling like there's a void that's difficult to fill. And sometimes we try and fill it with all these other things. We sometimes go after stuff. And we can stuff ourselves full of stuff. And still we can feel there's an emptiness. There's something missing. He knew, Jesus knew that people were searching for something more in life than what had been presented to them. And he told stories to reveal what the kingdom of God was like, to get them thinking. You see, we're called to proclaim the kingdom just like Jesus did. And how we talk about it, and how we talk about the king, and how we talk about what we do as a community is important. So, for example, if you were thinking of inviting someone to church, you could just say, well, oh, dear neighbor, would you like to come to church with me? Or you could say, dear neighbor, I'm involved with this bunch of people that's passionate about seeing people's lives transformed for good, seeing our towns changed for the better, and actually also impacting the nations. It's amazing. Do you want to come and have a look? And you see, both are an invitation. One gives a feel and flavor about what we do, and the other not so much. But we're called to proclaim the king and his kingdom, and in a way that is clear, in a way that is gets people interested, and it sparks, oh, what do they do? What are all those cars on the curb for? What do you do? Oh, it's kind of like a book club. Let's all declare the kingdom. That's what he calls us to do. So Jesus inaugurates the kingdom. He declares the kingdom, and he also demonstrates the kingdom. The third point to fill in, Jesus demonstrates the kingdom. Luke 11:20 says this, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus not only declared the kingdom, he also demonstrated the kingdom in his works. Through his works, he demonstrated something of the kingdom. And Matthew 4, verse 23 to 24 says this, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all those who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Jesus demonstrates the kingdom. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom, but he showed them what the good news looked like. He healed those who were sick. He cast out demons. And in Jubilee, we believe the good news of the kingdom needs to be preached. And we also believe that people should be healed in the power of God. We believe in the continuing demonstration of the kingdom today. We have seen some healings, and we want to see loads more. We've seen some salvations, and we want to see loads more. Pray for those on Alpha. We had a great Holy Spirit day yesterday. Wonderful conversation, wonderful time with people, and you can just see the Holy Spirit drawing people in, drawing people in. We want to see more salvations. We need to continue preaching the gospel and demonstrating his kingdom. But how else did Jesus demonstrate the kingdom? Well, for a start, he chose the unlikely. Think about the people that Jesus chose. There's a couple of fishermen, a tax collector, a doctor, and a traitor. It's an unlikely bunch, right? If you're thinking, all right, I'm going to change the world, I'm going to put together this team of 12 and I'm going to change the world, are these the people that you would have chosen? But what does that tell us about the kingdom of God? That Jesus chooses the unlikely. I mean, just look at your eldership team. An ex-banker with Australian heritage and tendencies, an ex-travel agent with South African heritage and an unhealthy interest in Star Wars, an ex-software engineer who comes from Trinidad, and then there's Sean. He's pretty good, actually, but he's a bit slow to respond to emails or texts. It tells me that in the kingdom, the least can be the greatest. It tells me he looks at the heart. He doesn't look for perfection. He looks for passion. He doesn't look just at ability. He looks at trainability. It tells me that he invests in people even when he knows they're going to turn away from him. He tells me that his kingdom is totally different from this world. Luke 10 verse 21 says, and at the time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit, and I said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, this was pleasing in your sight. He chooses the unlikely. Tells me that he expects from us as members of the kingdom that we are to be different. And we have to understand the kingdom and realize that our lives need to reflect the kingdom and be distinct from the lives of our non-Christian friends and family. See, Jesus demonstrated the kingdom through the feeding of the 5,000. That his kingdom, in the kingdom, the little that you have in your hands, when given over to him, can be used and multiplied beyond our wildest dreams. The impact can be bigger than we ever thought of. Jesus told the disciples, they, talking of the people, don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. He would not have asked them to do something if they weren't able to do it. It may not have seemed very probable, but Jesus shows that if we give our lives, if we give the little that we have in our hands over to him, trusting in him, the impact can be much greater than we could ever imagine. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust the Master with our lives. We need to rise up in faith in Jesus. And when he asks, you give them something to eat. You take what's in your hand and you say, Lord, I mightn't see it, but I'll give to you in faith, knowing all that you can do. And Jesus also demonstrated the kingdom through the cross. Matthew 14, verse 24 to 26 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Well, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, following Jesus is costly. You may have heard it said, salvation in Jesus is free, and yet it seems to cost everything. In the kingdom, we are to follow our King. He said, the way to find your life is to lose it, and that we are to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. What does that mean for you right now? How have you intentionally and purposefully denied yourself this week? It's a good question, right? It's a bit pointy. But don't we need to think about this a bit more? Jesus said, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus showed us that in his glorification, he was risen. He was lifted up on the cross. He says, so often the scriptures will finish with, it's almost the blessings of God come if we participate in the sufferings of Christ. It's just been a challenge to me these past few weeks, and particularly this week. Where am I denying myself? Where am I laying down my life? Don't we need to think, how can I follow Jesus today? How can I deny my wishes, wants, needs, and put someone else first? What is my cross? Isn't that really at the heart of the Remembrance Morning? That those young men and women denied themselves their right to a full life, their right to a family life, their right to a future for the benefit of someone else. See, Jesus demonstrated the kingdom in serving of others, in preferring others, in living a life poured out so that others flourish, others benefit, others are better for it. And the most amazing thing is that when we get hold of this truth, when we fully grasp the truth of actually losing our life, we find it, we come into a fullness of life that is beyond what we could have imagined. Then we start to really see what Jesus was talking about. He's our perfect example. And we need to follow after him. So Jesus demonstrated the kingdom in healing, in proclaiming, in preaching, in choosing the unlikely, in showing us what is possible when we trust him, and in showing us the way of the cross. See, everything about this world says, you first. Everything about this world says, get better, get yourself better. And yet Jesus says, no, it's not that. It's not that. In a mystery that is part of the kingdom, he says, it's the way of death. It's laying down our lives that we fully grasp it. And we need to think about this as we're seeking first his kingdom, as we're trying to be kingdom people and live out kingdom lives today. What does that mean for us? It's challenging. I said at the start of the series, there's something in here that's going to offend everyone. Now, I was offended, and I wrote most of the series. And if nothing else, I'd say, search the scriptures. Go home, search the scriptures. See what Jesus said about laying down our lives. Quiet in here. Is everyone all right? Yeah? Good. I'm nearly there. Now, last point this morning is Jesus deploys the kingdom. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the ends of the age. It is because of his authority that we go. We don't have the authority. He does. But he has been given as head of the church. And he says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. All authority. We love this scripture. It's right here. It's a part of who we are. So make sure that you're all still with me. Why don't we all say, all authority? Come on, I think we can get a little bit more Pentecostal than that. Let's go. Come on. All authority.
All authority.
There we go. Who has it?
Oh, Jesus.
Boy, that's, right, I need to start again. Right, we're going to go back. The first point. All authority.
All authority.
Who has it?
Jesus.
Better. And Jesus is the head over all things, and he is being given to the church, praise God. Jesus sends us out in his authority. He gives us his great commission. It is one of our most loved scriptures. His plan for us is to make disciples, baptize, and teach. And his promise to us is that he will always be with us, even to the end of the age. See, Jesus never promised us a life without problems. In fact, and indeed, he said, in this world you will have problems, but I will be with you always. He promises to never leave you. He promises to always be with us. See, we are commissioned and we are sent. Jesus sends out his followers. That's any of us who have come to know Jesus as Lord, as ambassadors of the kingdom to herald its arrival. And we see in Luke 10 that Jesus says this, whatever city you enter and there and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. We are sent, we are commissioned, and we go in his authority. So Jesus inaugurates the kingdom. He declares the kingdom. He displays the kingdom, demonstrates the kingdom, and he deploys the kingdom. So what does this mean for you and for me as we seek first the kingdom, even this coming week? Well, we are called to be God's people in God's place under God's rule. We are called to declare the kingdom, to proclaim the good news, to speak in ways that make sense to people, and gets them intrigued. It's kind of like a book club. We're called to demonstrate the kingdom, to follow Jesus and live the life that he lived here on earth. We are to follow the way of the cross. We are to heal. We are to pray for people, love them, care for them, see a need. Can you meet it? Generosity. Loving, caring community. And finally, we are those who are deployed. We are those who are sent on a mission, a great commission. Make disciples. I was sitting there yesterday at Alpha and I just had this wonderful moment where we're having these conversations with people and you see them, just you see the Holy Spirit working and they say, I've never thought of that before. And it just struck me. When these people come to Christ, their lives are eternally changed. Eternally changed. And those individuals can be doorways into families and generations that can be eternally changed. And God says, come and be a part of it. You get to be a part of it. It's just, what a wonderful way to spend Saturday. This is just awesome. We make disciples, we teach, we baptize. We are to go and remember he is always with us. So can I bring the band back up? We're going to worship the King of Kings. We're going to worship Jesus, the one who shapes the kingdom. We want to seek first the kingdom of God and be like Jesus. And if you want to be more like Jesus today, then I'd encourage you to take a step. And actually, if there's, why don't we all stand, please, if you are able. Let's just close our eyes. You don't have to, but if that helps to avoid distraction, let's just close our eyes. And if you're here visiting this morning and you You don't know this Jesus as Lord and Savior. But you've heard something about him this morning, about his kingdom, that you say, Lord, I want that. Then while the rest of us are just with heads bowed and eyes closed, just you could follow on and just say this in your heart. So just, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the things that have separated me from you. I'm sorry for the things that I've made mistakes with in life and done wrong. And I want to turn from all of that and receive you as Lord. Jesus, something of this morning has intrigued me, and I want to know you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for taking away my sins as you died on the cross for me. And I welcome you now into my life as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anyone else that's also already